Parsha is known for the Tochacha. It's known for, which is the Tochacha means rebuke. And it's actually the long Tochacha. It's extremely long. When you think it's over, you're just halfway through. Very, very many psukim, probably 50, 60 psukim on all the terrible things that will befall the Jewish people if they abandon the Torah. And sadly, they all pretty much happen. Okay? Pesal is reading the whole thing. Yeah, I mean, he did a good job. Bezat Hashem, he will do a good job, but. But we don't like talking about the Tochacha, so we're talking about the section before the Tochacha. Even though the Tochacha is like this cloud weighing over the whole Parsha, as you know from when the Torah reading, the Baal Kori reads the Torah loud, like nice and loud and clear, but when he gets to the Tochacha, he goes faster and lower. Almost as if we read the Torah in a sense saying that this is like distasteful. We don't want to read it. We prefer not to read it, but we do anyway. Okay, so, but we're gonna do, each year I say I probably should do some of the Tochacha, but it's so depressing I decide not to. So, we're gonna do a section that's almost like an introduction to the Tochacha in a sense. It's sort of a, we'll see, it's a section that's kind of sitting there, and we don't really exactly know what to do with it. We're gonna start in Perek Chav Vav, Pasuk Tet Zayin. Perek Chav Vav, chapter 26, verse 16. Just as a way of introduction, right before it, the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu describes what's called Mikra Bikuri. And then after that, there's called something called Ma'aser Vidui Ma'asrot. When a person has to bring his Ma'aser, he has to make sure that every 3 years, the Torah says, he has to commit himself to make sure that any Ma'aser he gives, he gets out of the house. You can't build up year after year, like 6 days. You can't build up year after year. You have to, at every 3 years, take all your Ma'asrot or all the Trum out of your house and make a declaration and say, Biarti, I got rid of everything. Okay? And we end off, just look at Tezbav, the very beautiful pasuk that you're all familiar with. We end off that Vidur Masrut by saying, Hashkifa mim'on kachacha min hashamayim, right? Hashkifa, look out, God, from your holy abode, from the heavens. Ubarech et amcha et Israel, bless your nation, bless Israel. Ve'et ha'adama shenatata lanu, and the land that you gave us. Kasher nishvata la'avotenu eretz zavat chalav v'dvash, like you promised our forefathers a land, flowing with milk and honey. It's a very beautiful, prayer that just as we have done, says Rashi, just as we have done what we were supposed to, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will now fulfill your promise as well. And it sets up, this Pasuk sets up this nature, the notion of this dual relationship, the give and take between God and the Jewish people. Hashkifa mim'om kachacha, if you look at Rashi, just at Rashi on Tetvav for a second. Yes.
It's interesting. It's like a parent. He starts with the positive, you know? He's supposed to start with criticism. He's supposed to start with positive.
Oh, you mean the good? We'll say the good?
Yeah, well, first he says the good.
There's a lot of criticism in this one. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah, right. There's three. You know what? Bring the white, the chairs outside in the patio. Those two. One is in Leah's room. There's one more. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Okay.
What happened to your folding chairs?
We have one, two. We got more. They're somewhere. Okay. Look at Rashi says, Hashkivi ba'on kachacha, asinu masha gazarta aleinu, we did that which you decreed upon us, now, asay ata masha alecha la'asto. So you, God, should do what you said, sha'amarta, you said, im b'chukotai teilechu, if you follow in my mitzvot, v'natati gishmechem b'itam, then I promise I'll give the geshem, I'll give the rains in their proper time. Okay? I just want to note, we haven't met before, Mrs. Shulman, we met a little bit. I want to welcome you and wish you a mazal tov on your aliyah. Okay, so welcome to Israel. Okay. There you go. Asinu masha, asinu masha gazarta aleinu. So we've done what we're supposed to do. I say atama. But it just sets up a very interesting dynamic of the Tochacha. You see, Rashi says, Sha'amarta im b'chukotai teilechu. The Tochacha appears twice in the Torah. Once in this Parsha, and where's the other time? Anybody want to guess? What, Parsha? Take a stab. No, don't ask you. Parsha B'chukotai. Right? It appears in B'chukotai and Ki Tavo. So Rashi's alluding, there's an allusion here to the Tochacha. So, but every time there's a Tochacha, first there's the blessing, like you said, Miriam. First there's the good, you're going to have good. But if you don't do what you're supposed to do, it's going to be bad. Right? Very, very bad. This Parsha is especially bad. So you have this idea of give and take. You do what you're supposed to do in order to get the reward that you want to get. Okay, we're gonna go on. Hayom, we're gonna read this section and then we're gonna pull it apart like we always do. Perek Chavav Pasuk Tet Zayin. Hayom Hazeh, Hashem Elohecha mitzavecha la'asot et ha'chukim ha'eleh bet ha'mishpatim, V'shamarta v'asita otam b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha. Hayom hazeh, on this day, Hashem, your God, commands you to do these chukim, these statutes and these laws, and you shall guard and do them with all your heart and with all your soul. Et Hashem he'emarta hayom liyot lecha l'Elohim v'lalechet bidrachav. Okay, I have to stop translating because even though you're looking, anyone without an English want to help me translate what the word he'emarta means? Anybody who's not cheating, want to tell me what the word he'emarta means? God he'emarta hayom. What's the root of the word? Amar. So God.
That you said.
He'emarta hayom. So we have to now try to figure out what it means in context. All the mefarshim say that this is unique in the Torah. It doesn't appear anywhere else in Tanakh, this word. He'emarta. Cheater. Okay, one second. We'll try to figure it out and then we'll.
Why is it et Hashem?
Et Hashem he'emarta. Let's finish the pasuk. Liyot lecha l'Elohim, that he shall be for you a God, v'lalechet bidrachav, and to go his way, in his ways, v'lishmor chukav u'mitzvotav, and to guard his rules and his statutes, u'mishpotav, and his commandments, v'lishmor bekolo. So he'emarta means you did something. He'emarta ata, he'emarta. Right? That's a diktuk, right? You did this. So you did this to God, you he'emarred God, that he will be for you a God, and you will follow in his mitzvot. So what does he'emarta mean?
You said you would keep the Torah.
You said. Very good. From the word said. So what did you do through your saying?
The two words.
I'm trying to figure out. I just don't understand the word he'emarta. That word itself is very interesting. Okay? Anybody want to? Now let's go to the English. Okay?
Elevate.
You what?
Elevate.
Elevated?
Elevated.
Okay, what if I was going to say elevated in Hebrew, what would I say?
Elevated.
Thank you. I would say he'eleita. What else? What does he have?
Set apart.
Distinguished. You both have art scroll.
We've all got art scroll.
No, she doesn't. What do you have? Elevated, set apart, distinguished. Okay, distinguished and set apart are similar. Why did it say elevated? You know why? Anybody want to guess?
Laharim.
Laharim. That's the Ramban one?
Yeah.
Ramban translates he'emarta? I don't think he does. Maybe he does. Yes. Yes, he does. So there's translating. Very interesting. Their translation is based upon, every translation is based on interpretation. So their art school interpretation is going to be based upon the Ramban's explanation. Whereas your interpretation is Rashi. Primarily Rashi. And your interpretation is also Rashi. Distinguished, set apart. He'emarta. It's a very powerful word. So God, let's stick with Ramban for a second. God distinguished, set you aside. To be for you a God, to follow in His liyot lecha le'Elohim, to follow in His ways, to keep His statutes, etc., etc. Yudchet. V'Hashem he'emircha hayom, and God, what's that word now? He'emircha. It's a very beautiful. It's a very beautiful pairing. You designate God, and God designates you. Reminds me very much of the acrostic that we use for the word Elul. What do we say, Elul?
Anila
Dodi, V'Dodiri. That we believe that a connection we have between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a dual connection. It's a give and take. Anila Dodi, I designate myself for God, I set myself aside from God, but Dodili. So here, we actually see that explicitly in the psukim themselves. We see, Atashem He'emarta, God has set you aside, but at the same time, Hashem he'emircha. I said that wrong. At Hashem he'emarta, you have designated yourself for God, and at Hashem he'emircha, and Hashem has also designated Himself for you. Liot lo la'am segula, so that He would make you an am segula, treasured nation. Kasher diber lach, as He said to you, v'lishmor kol mitzvotav, and to follow all His commandments. And to make you exalted over all the nations, litihila, for praise, l'shem, for a name, ulititeret, and for glory.
Interesting, and every time I see an Israeli formal ceremony,
yeah,
you also notice this. They always end whatever they say with litihila, l'shem, ulititeret.
Okay.
That's how they end it?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. It's also interesting. Well, it's interesting what the context is. Right? I have a few questions. We have a few questions about this section. The first question I have about the section is, it's beautiful and lovely.
Beautiful,
lovely. What does it mean? You know what I'm saying? Is it just one of these general, like, blah, blah introductions that doesn't mean anything? You know what I'm saying? Oh, God said he's yours, and you said he's his. Or is Moshe Rabbeinu telling us something actually concrete? Because when you read these words, one gets the sense that it's very fluffy. The only problem with saying something like that is Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't waste words.
Well,
he doesn't say
to
fluff.
Say something very heavy.
He is going to say something very heavy, but the next section actually is the whole section about the rocks, about the 12 stones. They make the 12 stones. So it's like this section is kind of like sitting there. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to say it's an introduction.
It's
set apart. We're going to have an introduction before the Tochacha. Moshe Rabbeinu is almost going to say the same thing. Okay, let's look for a second. Skip for a second to Perek Chav Zayin Pasuk Tet. Verse 9. Moshe and all the Kohanim Levim spoke to all of Israel, saying, Hasket u'shma Yisrael. Hasket? I don't even know what that means.
Take heed.
Warning. Hayom hazeh nihiyeta la'am al Hashem Elokecha. This day you become a nation. V'shamata b'kol Hashem Elokecha. And you should hear God. V'asita ad mitzvotav v'chukotav asher anochi mitzvavcha hayom. And then they have Har Gerizim and Har Ebal. Familiar with the ceremony? Har Gerizim and Har Ebal, the Levium in the middle, the nations on the side, the Brachot and the Klalot. That's a good introduction. Right? But here, our introduction is interrupted by the mitzvah of building the stones and building the rock. Like, what does it mean? Okay? Even more. You notice something, a familiarity, something similar between Perek Pasuk Tet Zayin and the one I just read for you? Do you notice what words call out to me? Like, you hate when I say what words call out to you. What? Shema Yisrael. In ours? In our Hayom Hazeh, let's start with Hayom Hazeh. Start calls out to me. Hayom Hazeh, it's in both. You notice that, right? This word Hayom appears a ton in this week's parsha.
Doesn't appear in this first
day. Oh, the second one, Shema Yisrael Hasket. I didn't even notice that.
In the second
El Kol Yisrael Hasket Ushema Yisrael. Nice, huh? Okay.
Take heed.
Very good. That's the question. First question is.
What?
Well, what's your question? Ask it broader. Ask it more broadly.
What does that mean?
What is the meaning of Hayom Hazeh? Which day?
Every day.
Every
day.
Every generation.
I'm glad you're giving an answer.
The day of Moshe. Right.
But you think that's the Pshat answer or is that the Drash answer? Pshat is what day?
This day that he's talking about.
Right. He's saying Hayom Hazeh. Hayom Hazeh means today. But then you have to ask the next question.
What day is it?
What happened on that day? Right. What day was it? What was so special about that day that he says Hayom Hazeh? Hashem Ha'emir Chaliyom. What was so special about that day? So first look at Rashi. What does Rashi say? A or B? Does Rashi take the particular or the general? Ah, very good. Right? It says Rashi? Every day. Anytime we see this Hayom Hazeh, Rashi takes that perspective. That there should be a sense of newness and freshness in our Shmirat HaMitzvot. Right, and I think that's a very laudable goal. Especially, it's like a very good musar for all of us, especially as we approach Rosh Hashanah. I don't know about you, but like, part of the danger of rote is that it becomes just sort of, you know, like you sometimes, rote, thank you. Like, I look back at the year and I try to think to myself, like, what did I do, like, through the year? And it's just kind of, you know, one day into the next. Except for the moving part. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's more than that. Like, you know. Like,
it's also that, like, he's talking to us as a nation. If you recognize that I'm here for you, I will be there for you. Like, you know, with everything that's going on today, you know, this whole thing with Migron and on the one hand, and Iraq on the other hand, Hashem saying to us is reminding us in the timing of this thing that you do for me, I'll do for you. Don't forget me.
That's a nice boy, but that's not what Rashi says. I agree with your point. You know what I'm saying? Rashi's saying, Hayom Hazeh. We'll get to that. I don't know if I'll get to Iran today, but okay. He's saying that there's a job of saying Hayom. We actually see this in Shema also. Asher Anochi Metzavcha Hayom Alevavecha. The notion of Hayom is critically important. I struggle with this in davening all the time. There's a very, very common problem in davening that we say the words each and every day. We say it all the time. And it becomes sort of like this thing that you do. It becomes more of a ritual than a communication. And the job of us as religious people is to try to find new meaning each and every day. And so that's a very beautiful idea of Hayom Hazeh. Unfortunately, or fortunately, Rashi is very nice, a beautiful pshat, but it's not pshat in the psukim. The pshat in the psukim is Hayom Hazeh, this day. So what happened on this particular day? Okay, so let's see. It says Ramban. We're going to look at Ramban, and we're also going to see Orach Chaim, beautiful Orach Chaim. Says the Ramban, Hayom Hazeh. What happened on this day? Hine hishlim Moshe lebaer et haTorah ulechadesh kol haMitzvot asher tziva Hashem oto lechadesh lahem. What happened on this day? Moshe finished telling them the Torah. So once he finished telling them the Torah, you've got everything you need to have. You need. So today, now that you have all the mitzvot, now that you have the whole Torah, now you can now become a nation. Okay. Velachen, and therefore Amar Hayom Hazeh. He said, "Shem Elokecha mitzavcha la'asot et ha'chukim ha'ele v'et ha'mishpatim." Right, today God can command you with all the mitzvot. Why? Ki kvar hishlamti lecha hakol, because I finished everything. V'hizkir, and it says, "V'shamarta ba'asito otam b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha." Let's look at the next pasuk. V'tam et Hashem he'emarta hayom, God he'emarta. Kevan shekibaltam aleichem aman yudzayin in the Ramban. Kevan shekibaltam aleichem kol ha'torah. Since you accepted upon yourself the whole Torah, hine gadaltem Hashem v'romamtem oto. Right, you have exalted God. Shiyahu levado lachem l'Elohim v'lo todu be'el acher klal. I mean, Ramban Yitzchak. Okay. Of Chabad. Sorry. Okay. So therefore, he'emarta, you have exalted God. Once you've accepted, once you've received all the commandments, all the mitzvot, the entire Torah. So then, et Hashem he'emarta hayom, Ramban says, you have elevated God by your acceptance of the Torah, by your commitment to receive and to fulfill the words of the Torah.
Well, which is why it says he'emarta instead of he'elita, because it was by your saying na'aseh b'nishma that did that perform the action of elevating God.
Okay.
Right, that's what we said in the beginning.
Right.
Sorry, I wasn't there.
No, but...
You were.
Let's look at Rashi on He'emarta for a second. Okay, right. Yezayin He'emarta. He'emircha, Rashi says. Ein lahem eid mochiach b'mikra. Usually, what Parshanim will do, in order to understand the word, they'll say, well, where else could we find this word? And then they'll say, based on the context from somewhere else, then we'll try to understand the word. He says, there is no other way in the place. V'li nir'eh, I believe, shulashon hafrasha v'havdalah. It's a language of
separation,
distinction. So now we know, why does Tammy's Chumash say elevated, and why does yours say distinguished? Because it's a word that's difficult to understand.
But she's explaining according to Ramban, and not explaining according to Rashi.
Right, but that's exactly my point. Translation is by definition interpretation. Mm-hmm. You want to understand the word, elevate and distinguish, they sound similar. But they're not. They're a little bit different. Okay? So Rashi says, Hivdalta lecha me'elohe nechar. You have separated yourself from the foreign gods, liot lecha le'elohim. And v'hu hifrishcha elav me'ame ha'aretz, liot lo am segula. And he separated you from the nations of the world, that you should be a treasured nation. Now it's interesting. Rashi uses an interesting word. One second, if I can find it. One second. Ah. Tzabar Acher, Matati Lahem Eid. Hulashon, I found an Eid, I mean I found another example. Hulashon Tif Eret. What is Tif Eret? Glory, right? God has glorified you and you have glorified God. Either way, it's just a very beautiful idea. I want to share with you a very, very famous midrash from a Gemara in Brachot. Look at Unklus for a second. And you'll understand why Unklus says what he says. How does Unklus translate the word He'emarta? What does the word he'emarta mean? Can you find it in the Unklus? I know, it's in Aramaic. Everybody see an Unklus? What word is the translation, is the Unklus, is the Aramaic for he'emarta and he'emircha? Where are you? Yud Zayin. Et Hashem he'emarta hayom. How does he translate? Very good. Yat Hashem chatavta yom adain. Yom adain, this day. Yat et Hashem chatavta. Look at the next pasuk. And what is Hashem? VeHashem he'em mircha hayom. And God, VeHashem chatvach yom adain. Chatvach. From what word?
Chativa.
Chativa. Very good. What's a chativa?
Junior
high school. Right, exactly right. Chativat benayim. That's what it is. That's the same word.
It's a yuna.
So it means
what
learning.
Is chativa?
A learning.
It's
a stage.
You're tweening. No, only but chativa benayim. Chativa yonah.
Very good. Right. We just call, it's a slang. So you know, Hebrew. Right, for all you olim, what's a chativa? Chativa means junior high school.
Really?
That's a chativa. Still come. Okay, wait, why? Because what's chativa? Why do they call it chativa?
No, chativa is a unit, also in the army, like Laura said. It's a chativa.
Yeah, okay. So what does that mean, that God chativa made you a chativa?
Separate.
Very good. It's a
batunkus. Separate but cohesive.
It's based on a beautiful, beautiful midrash that's brought in the Gemara in Brachot. Says the Gemara in Brachot the following. Okay. Amar le Rab Nachman bar Yitzchak l'Rab Chia bar Abin. Said Rab Nachman bar Yitzchak l'Rab Chia bar Abin. Hane tefillin demare alma maktibu. Just like we have tefillin. So what does it say in our tefillin? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What's in God's tefillin? Like what if he wears it, he wears tefillin. So okay. Amar le, it says, Umi ke'amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. So in our tefillin, we say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We designate that Hashem is one. And what is in God's tefillin? About us. Umi ke'amcha. Who is like your nation? Goy echad ba'aretz. Okay. Umi mishtabach kudsha brichu b'shvachayhu di Yisrael. Is God praised? But through the praise of Israel. So Amr Leit, he said, in, yes. Dichtiv, as it says, et Hashem he'emarta hayom. Uktiv, and it was also written, v'Hashem he'emircha hayom. So the Chazal, we're looking at these psukim and saying, such a beautiful idea. Just like we designate ourselves and devote ourselves to God, and we say, Shema Yisrael Hashem HaKen Hashem HaKad. So in Hashem's tefillin, it says, who is like you, O Israel, who mika amcha Yisrael goyachad ba'aretz. Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the language of the Gemara. It says God to Israel, Atem asituni chativa achad ba'olam. You have made me a chativa. One unit, designation. Okay. Singularity in the world. Okay. Lekach. One second. Okay. Ve'ani esetchem chativa achad ba'olam. So I make you also one designated unit in the world. The Amar, as it says, Umika Amcha Yisrael Goyachad Ba'aretz. So if you want to know, why does the Unklo say, Vashem Chatvach, this idea of Chativa Achad, that's clearly borrowed from the Gemara and Brachot. Because the Gemara here is quoting from our Pasuk of Hashem He'emircha, so that we are a Chativa and Hashem is a Chativa, right? That's the basis of this Unklo, that we designate ourselves to God, and God designates Himself for us. And I have to stop on this for a second. Okay, so we're in the time of Elul, and there's a notion. One of the very more prominent ideas of Rosh Hashanah specifically is the notion of Malchut, right? That we designate there's Zichrono, Shofar, and Malchiyot, but Melech al Kol HaOlam, that we designate God as the King of the World, is a critical core element of what Rosh Hashanah is all about. And we don't focus on ourselves. We don't talk about Tshuva. But instead, Rosh Hashanah is supposed to be about God's domination, God's kingdom in the world. And in a sense, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is depending upon us. There's a, like we said, there's a level of responsibility in that. That if we don't do our job, how else is God going to become the Melech on the entire world? You know what I'm saying? So on the one hand, we expect HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we come to God on Rosh Hashanah and we say, can you do this for me and do that for me? And we, you know, we're dedicated to you and we're devoted to you. But on the other hand, God is turning to us and saying also, right, I need you to be the conduit through which I am revealed to the world. And this, I think, is part of this notion of this
symbiosis.
Exactly the word I was going to say. The symbiosis between Hashem and the Jewish people. Yeah. That we're connected, we're tied to one another. You know, and that's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu says. V'Hashem he'emircha hayom liot lo la'am segula kasher diber lach. You are His treasured people. Right, in a sense, like the Midrash also adds that Hashem, that Moshe Rabbeinu asked God, he said, do me a favor, what happens if the Jewish people don't do what they're supposed to do? Let's say another nation comes along and does better.
Are you going to dump them and go to somebody else? So Hashem Moshe asked God, and God got to promise that no matter what, just like we promise that we're always, we are eternally committed to God, Kadosh Baruch Hu is eternally committed to us. Right, I think that's part of the message of the Tochacha as well. As you read the Tochacha, and at some point you read these terrible, terrible things, and you know what I'm saying? In the end, I just have to see if I remember. One second. At the end, like it's one second. Right. All these terrible things will happen ad, until almost up to the point where you'll be destroyed. But not ad, the ad b'chlal. You will not be destroyed. Right. That's part of the commitment of the Tochacha. That, yeah. It's a sad. It's hard. That we're this am segula, that for better or for worse, we're connected to the Ribono Shel Olam. We're stuck with God, and He's stuck with us. Of course, you'd like it to be good. You'd like it to be beneficial. But,
It's not realistic.
What?
It's not realistic. It's like any relationship.
Really?
It's
not realistic?
To expect that everything's always going to be perfect?
Faithful? No. Devoted?
Faithful. There are gradations, but to a certain, you know...
I don't know. I think it's... Okay. I want to share with you... I would hope that a Kadosh Baruch Hu thought that we wouldn't worship idols, or hope that we wouldn't worship idols.
Come on. It's not...
It's not realistic that we're not going to worship idols?
He knows Yitzhak also. Yitzhak Leif Adam Rami knew a Rav. He said it himself. And in general, people, and Am Yisrael are people just as other people are. Are we supposed to try to overcome the Yitzhak? Of course, that's what makes us unique.
Right.
That we have this, you know, commitment to try to overcome the Yitzhak. It doesn't mean you're always going to win. And Hashem knew that going in.
Fair enough. That's why there's a Tovah
Kol.
Okay. So now we have both sides. We have Yud Zayin, and Hashem Ha'amarta Hayom. Okay, so and what's our job? If God and Marta, you have designated God, Liyot Lecha Lelavim, He'll be our God, Lalechet Etrachav, to walk in His ways, Nishmor Chukav Nizvatav, Nishmor Bekolo. Those are the things that we have to do. Next pasuk. Let's read this one carefully. Yudchet. I'm back on Yudchet in Chav Vav. Vashem He'emircha Hayom. Okay, and God, He He'emircha, He has designated you, Liyot Lo La'am Segula Kasher Diber Lach. He'll make you into a treasure nation. And to follow all His commandments, and make you a great nation, and to make you a holy nation. One of those things doesn't fit. Read the list again. I got your attention. Good. One of those things doesn't fit. Which one of these things doesn't make sense? Why not?
Because that's the thing of choice, right? Can't make you.
You're not being more specific. You have to be more careful. You're absolutely correct, but why not? What's wrong? I mean, the list, there's two sides of the list. There's side A, and then there's side B. Okay?
This is what I'm going to do for you, and this is what you need to do. In...
Correct. So we've already done, which side is what we're doing for God? Pasuk.
We're
going to
keep the command.
Yud Zayin. Hashem Amarta Hayom. What's that? Yud, Yud Zayin is the stuff. Is the stuff that we have to do, correct? Mm-hmm. And Yudchet is the stuff that God has to do. And what does God have to do? God make us a treasure nation and the next thing exalted, etc., etc. But what's on that list?
Lishmor kol
mitzvotav. Everybody understand the question? Right. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't belong. Because how is that on the list that He's going to do for me?
Doesn't match.
Okay? So, anybody want to suggest?
Make a
suggest?
No,
really? Vashem Emircha Hayom, Viot Lola Am Segula. Right? It would be a treasure nation. Now let's skip the next pasuk. Kasher Diber, as He promised to do. Skip that phrase. Ule Titcha El Yon Al Kol Agoyim. And He will make you exalted. right? Uli yotcha am kadosh l'Hashem elokecha, and he'll designate you as holy. But what does he throw in there? V'lishmor kol mitzvotah.
We have to make ourselves kadosh.
Correct, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't... Now he's making us kadosh. Of course we have to do things to make us kadosh. But that's the side that God has to do for us, not the side that we do for him.
Maybe he gives us ways to guard.
I think it's our responsibility to make ourselves an amsula and to...
Right, but wouldn't that be in et Hashem he'emarta hayom? You are, that is on the list, emarta hayom. How do we designate God? He says it specifically. Lishmor chukukha mishpotah v'lishmor bekolo. So what is this? Why is it on both sides?
We have to copy his.
Why is it on both sides? So, look at Sforno for a second. V'lishmor kol mitzvotav. Says the Sforno. V'natan lecha gam kein ma'aleh b'ma shebachar b'cha. He made you exalted. Shebachar b'cha v'shmor kol mitzvotav. He chose you to follow his commandments, i.e.
One of the
ways that God elevated you is
by giving you the mitzvahs.
Correct. Mm. This is what I wanted to stop on. It's interesting.
It's true.
I saw this blog post written by somebody actually, not even know her personally, that grew up in Detroit. And she wrote this blog post about how going to Beis Yaakov, Beis Yaakov wasn't the best experience for her educationally and spiritually and religiously. Okay? You read it? Probably. Her name is Chevy Zacks, I think. She published a blog. A lot of people read it.
She was always made to feel that she wasn't living up.
Right. Correct. And so people wrote back to her, well, why did your parents send you there? A lot of people wrote back to her, why did your parents send you to that school? A very interesting question. So she wrote a response to all the people that wrote back to her saying that she always felt like her parents created a house of warmth and love and devotion to the Torah. That she never felt, even though in school it was always this like oppression and being imposed upon, et cetera, that her family created a sense of specialness. And for that reason she said, I never wanted to be Mechallel Shabbat like a lot of her friends from Beis Yaakov. Wow. I never wanted to go to a non-kosher restaurant. I never felt that way. And I think this is such an important message for us. Because it doesn't matter if you send your kid to Beit Yaakov, or Yesodot, or Breuer, or Terecha. It doesn't matter. Right? We all are putting our children in a cocoon, in a sense.
I
love a pinnacle divine, but also a worldview that's very restrictive, in a sense. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, this is one of the things that it should concern all of us about yeshuv life, right? You know, it's not an unknown phenomenon that children who grow up in yeshuvim, they feel very much constricted. And it's not just constricted in like I can't get out and go to the mall, but it's also constricted that everybody here lives a certain way. So we love it. We're parents. We've gone through all of our stuff, and like we want the yeshuv to be closed on Shabbat. We want it to be quiet. We want it to be like, you know, the awesome Gan Eden that it is. But our children. Not necessarily, not always. You know? Yes. It's true about Jewish life, and it's especially true about Jewish life where you live in a cocoon where everybody expects you to behave a certain way. You know what I'm saying? It's not just, like if we lived in Modi'in, right, you wouldn't have the cocoon, but you also wouldn't have all the people that see what you do every day and say, oh, this kid goes there, I saw him hanging out with his girlfriend on the path on the outside of the yeshuv. Give me a break. You know what I'm saying? There's no, like, can't breathe. Am I right? She's Laura's like nodding like, oh, that is totally true. You know, and as our kids get older, it's more true. Like when they're 7 and 8, okay, you know, they don't.
I agree with you. I think it also happens outside.
But it happens outside the yeshuv, but a kid can go to the mall and it doesn't see all of the neighbors, all the people on the shul. What? Did I ever tell you my famous Rabbi Spider-Man story?
No.
So one day, I decided it was like my birthday or something, and one year, and the year Spider-Man came out, and I said, I want to go see Spider-Man. So we waited till like 8 weeks
adult?
After. I was an adult. I like, we were married in Detroit. I was a rabbi in the show. So I like, you know, Spider-Man, what could be, it's like, okay, whatever. So I waited like 8 weeks after the movie came out. It was on a Sunday night. We went out for dinner. And then we went to this movie theater, like, really far out. I get to the movie theater right before. We're walking in, and there are four people.
It wasn't before. We didn't see them until after. We watched the movie.
We walk in. Right after we're walking in, I go, "Hey, the rabbi's watching Spider-Man!" And it was that point, it was like, and I at that point, I checked even, I said, you know, if I didn't think so before, I now realize I could never, ever do anything and expect the entire community not to know.
Next time, go closer.
What? Next
time, go closer.
Go right, my body.
Everyone else is going away, but we want you to know that.
They're not afraid of it. What? Right, they're like, what's the big deal? But anyway. There's a very real possibility of creating a sense where there's a sense of oppression about Judaism. It's something that we're all aware of and concerned about. And to be honest with you, it's something everybody feels sometimes. It's a natural feeling to, you know, again, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And our responsibility is to see as lishmor kol mitzvotav, that's not something that I have to do. Do I see that as the side of that I have to do? Or do I see that as a side that I get to do? And here, God is putting it on the list of God give you, He's going to make you special and treasured, etc., etc., and lishmor kol mitzvotav. Like, do we give that sense of privilege, lishmor kol mitzvotav, or do we unknowingly transmit the other side, the sense of that lishmor kol mitzvotav is a burden and a responsibility? Because it's really both. But all too often, I see families, or I've seen, less prevalent here, families that transmit the burden. You know what I'm saying? And how do you know it? It's very easy. You're like, is Shabbat a time where you sit around and you talk Torah and you sing Zemirot and it's a time of joy? Or we get to the meal and I'm tired, I want to go to sleep.
You have to sit at the table. You may not leave the table. Do not get up from the Shabbos table.
Well,
yeah. And also, it's an attitude. Instead of creating an atmosphere at your table where your children want to stay at the table.
I rather live in Kuvay Yaakov.
Yeah.
He said, like, if you go out on Friday night, you can just see all the kids that just had so much restrictions on them. They're at the park, the boys and girls together, they're smoking, they're drinking. He said, like, when he was raising his kids, he always allowed them, like, they knew what they could do and what they couldn't do, and they had an open house, and his neighbors would never let their kids play with his kids because they were a bad influence. I mean, his kids weren't doing anything. And now those parents are coming to him and saying, how do I get my kid back on the Zera?
Yeah, that's always a trick. Yeah, I mean, there's no magic bullet, and I don't necessarily totally agree with you, because there's some balance between, we sit at the table. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know parents, I'm well aware of parents, who said to their kids at Shabbos morning, you don't have to come to shul. You know, and I disagreed with them, because they didn't want to impose upon their children, so the kids slept in all morning. You know what I'm saying? So I think there's some balance between, yes, we sit at the table, yes, there's things to be wrote, but you know what I'm saying? Maybe I'm not so good at that. I'm the balance. You know? Maybe I'm too much of the authoritarian, and we'll find out in a few years. But
it all depends on the child.
There's a difference between saying this is an expectation and this is a restriction,
right.
And something that you have. It's a tone.
But you have to.
Yes, that's exactly the point. I agree with you. I agree with Mina. It's a tone, and the tone is. First of all, we don't.
You don't
here we go.
To.
Okay.
You have to respect.
We'll talk about this later.
You can have a family, you know, with 10 kids, and the same tone.
That's
right. The same thing is not going to work for
that's
all.
Absolutely correct. It's absolutely correct. And it's that. That's essentially true. But tone is something that's so hard to. It's not something you can quantify. You have to sense it, and you have to be. It's a sense of being aware of it. You know what I'm saying? And different children react in different ways, but the Shmirat Mitzvot has to be seen as a privilege, as something that we enjoy and that we appreciate. Even though sometimes, you know, like for example, you know, there are times where we also see it as a burden. It's hot in the summer, and I don't have to walk around with a thing on my head all the time. You know what I'm saying? So, and your daughters are going to ask you about this. It's hot for them. It's hard for them to wear long sleeves in the summertime, no matter, you know, who you are. And you know what I'm saying? And the responsibility of a mother is to try to transmit the notion of the idea of that we appreciate the beauty of tzedut and what it contributes to us. And as a father, I go to minyan every morning and I like the discipline. And sometimes I don't necessarily want to get up, but I do it anyway. You know what I'm saying? So for all of our children, it's a sense of trying to transmit the notion that we do this because it's something that we want to do. Because bottom line is, if they have that sense from us, they'll get that sense as well. as opposed to if we force them to do it, then they won't. And I think that's a very important, just the idea of the Shmor Kol Mitzvotav, it's right there. It's in the wrong, it's on the wrong list. But that's exactly the point. It's not on the wrong list. It's on exactly the right list. It's exactly where it's supposed to be. Next. Let's go back. I wanted to share with you Or HaChaim. Beautiful, beautiful Or HaChaim. Okay, so we asked before, what is Hayom Hazeh? What is on this day? Okay, and we'll dedicate this Or HaChaim to our two Olot. Our Lot Chadashot, as you will see in a few minutes. Okay, what happened on this day? So Ramban, as we said, what happened on this day is that Moshe finished giving the Torah. Okay, he gave him all the Torah. But Or HaChaim says something different. If you have it, for those of you who have this Chumash, it's on the on top side of Gimel. See where it says Or HaChaim? Yud on Yud.
Tetzayin.
Okay. Tetzayin. Right. On. You see Or HaChaim on Tetzayin? You got it? Those of you who have it? I guess one person has it. Well, what can you do? You didn't bring your, where's your, Shira, you didn't bring, oh, you did. You have it? Or HaChaim? Okay.
Yeah, it must be in here.
There is an app called Oraita that has basically unbelievable stuff. It's incredible.
Like this?
It's not, no, not in the shape. It's a little hard to read. You have to, like, fight for it, but.
Need an iPad.
What?
It's in the iPad? Oh, iPad. Probably.
Yeah. Beware, Miriam. Nothing can suck you up. Okay, but I know. Says the Or HaChaim. Hayom hazeh. Says the Or HaChaim. Zechi hayom hi mitzuveh v'alo kfar tziva b'har Sinai. What they commanded on this day, it happened on Har Sinai. V'Rashi zal piresh v'chol yom yireinecha chadashim. So Rashi gave the drash, a beautiful drash, that it should be new to you every day. Okay. V'nir'eh, I think shekavanat ha'katuv hi alzeh haderech. It's in a different direction. The Fishikol HaTorah Tziva Ota B'Har Sinai. Moshe, God commanded them the whole Torah in Har Sinai. Bein Dvarim Shiesh Kum Asei Be'Oto Zman. Between whether it was things that they could fulfill at that time at Har Sinai. Bein Dvarim She'inam B'Kum Asei Ela La'achar Zman. But there were also some things that they could not fulfill. Kagon, for example. Ha'amin Parashadot Bikurim U'Masrot She'inam Nehugim Ela Ba'aretz. There were some mitzvot that the Jewish people couldn't fulfill until they got to Eretz Yisrael. B'tziva Hashem otam hagam, shelo hayazmanam. So when they got in Har Sinai, Hashem said, here's the whole Torah. When you get to Israel, you'll be able to fulfill them. Mitam kidei lilmod otam, so that they will read them, learn them. Ulekabel sechar al kabalatam. Right? They'll get reward in order for, just for receiving the mitzvot. Next paragraph, v'amar. See where it says v'amar? V'amar lehem Moshe. Moshe said, ki hen hayom mitzave otam la'asot ha'chukim ha'eleh. No, on this day he commands them to do these mitzvot. Shehem habikurim ma'asrot, the first two mitzvot in this parsha. She'ad hayom nitztavu lilmod dinehem bilvad, because until that day, they were commanded, in a sense, in the theoretical sense, just to learn. V'hayom hazeh, but on this day, mitzvei otam hayom la'asot ki higiru la'aretz. On this day, they arrived in Eretz Yisrael. V'tevat hayom lav davka. It's not like today, but it's zecher zman hamuchan b'shem hayom hazeh. Meaning Moshe Rabbeinu is giving them the speech. He's saying, today, when you're about to go into Eretz Yisrael, you're about to go, and he says, you're going to say, you're in Eretz Canaan, you're in Eretz HaKadosh. So all the stuff that you learned until now that was theoretical, that was not practical, that, oh, you know, when we get there, you'll be able to fulfill it?
You got to.
That's now. Next one, he continues. Et Hashem ha'emarta hayom, omro hayom, this is based on the Gemara in Ketubot that says, "Kol hadar bechutz la'aretz, domer kemi she'en lo Eloha." If you live in chutz la'aretz, it's as if you don't have a God, and if you live in Eretz Yisrael, it's as if you have a God. Why? For a very simple reason: you can't fulfill half the Torah in chutz la'aretz. So it's all
very
like
strong.
What?
Yeah,
the Gemara is extremely strong.
The Talmud Babli that was written.
The Yerushalmi is even stronger.
But I'm saying,
the Or HaChaim, is that
him? The Or HaChaim lived in Israel.
He lived in Tzvah, right? In Tveria?
What does Satmar say to this?
Well, I don't know. Okay. Who Omro, and it says, Hashem Hamarta Hayom today Davka. Why? Perus, since Kevansha, you be Eret HaMekudeshet, since you're in the Holy Land. Even though they were in the land of Sichon and Og, they designated Eber HaYarden as Eretz HaMekudeshet. Okay? Kevan Shinich B'shura Rabbi, Kibush Rabbi Mapi Navi, since they conquered it based on the Navi. Okay? Shehochachnu, I'm on the next page, turn the page, on the bottom of Tav Tzadi Bet, Shehochachnu b'parshat matot, u'me'atah, from that point, ein mekomam nechshav chutz la'aretz, it's not chutz la'aretz, u'lezeh he'emiru Hashem liot lahem le'elohim. This is why it says, today you designated God as a God. Why? Because until today, until now, until this month, right? The God that you had was like this imaginary God. It was like Kimi Sha'in Olok. It was a fraction of Hashem. But from this day forward, the Hashem that you worship is direct. Remember, you remember another midrash in that sense? Does anybody remember what else the Ramban says? We've learned this before. He's going to tell you, oh, Yitz al derech omram, it means something else, as the Zohar says. Sheshar ha'artzot bimsiru bidei sarei mala. The very, very famous idea in Kabbalah that I've mentioned before, but I'll mention again. Every nation, if you want to daven, if you want to reach God, so every place in the world, every nation has to go through an intermediary.
We have direct line.
Right, that's right. It has to go through the operator. Okay, so what do they do? This is, it's brought down in like many, many, many Sfarim, based on the Zohar. So if you want, if you're in Connecticut, what can you do? You daven to God. So you pray to God. The nation prays to its Tsar, and its Tsar, its ministerial angel, decides, you know, what to pass on and what not to pass on. You know, like every good executive assistant does. Mm. I'll bring your, you know, like when you say, can you tell the boss? What? But you always have to choose, like, you know, you can't bring everything. So, like, the intermediary, it muffles the communication. But, Masha'in came to Eretz Yisrael. It's not true in Eretz Yisrael. Ein alea shofet mi b'aladeh Hashem. Right, as we saw, very beautiful in Psukim, I think it's in Ekev, Eretz Asher Einei Hashem Elokecha Ba Mereshit Hashana. The God is looking at Eretz Israel all the time. V'hu Omro, and he says, Et Hashem He'emarta Hayom. You have designated God today, B'knisatcha La'aretz. Okay, in your, when you enter the land, Al Derech Omro, Milifanecha Mishpati Yetze. V'lo Yavo Mishpatechem B'nisar V'shofet. So Moshe is saying, you're going into Eretz Israel? The relationship that you had with God until now is totally different than it is today. It's a totally new experience. It's a totally new environment. It's a totally new relationship that you have. And therefore, we have to have a new covenant, a new designation, a new...
But then he's insinuating that if you're in Chutz La'aretz, you don't have a direct line to Hashem.
What's that?
He's insinuating.
It's not insinuating. It's not insinuating. He's saying it explicitly.
Well, he's saying that if you're in Chutz La'aretz, you don't have a direct line to Hashem.
Yes. Right. That bothers you?
I think it would bother a lot of people.
I said it last year. Good, it should. It needs to. Don't you feel...
Maybe some people it bothers enough to say, you know, maybe I should... I should pick a direct line. I'm not saying it. There's a Gemara in Ketubot. There's an Orachai. I'm reading your stuff, by the way. Rashi quotes it. Rambam quotes it. This is nothing new.
When we were in Chutzpah, my son said he didn't feel like we're constantly...
See, I never experienced. I never felt that. I never felt like... I'm not the Beckett I feel. Oh, I have a really good relationship.
It.
Good. I'm not denying it. But all I'm saying is that intellectually, all of the Mefarshim, all of, you know, it's... I was listening to a talk yesterday in Orot about Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook. What?
Yeah. I don't feel that
it.
Way.
I think there's stutz everywhere.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But there's less here.
I agree. I just want to point out. Like, and it's so I was here. I heard this talk about Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook from my boss, the Rav Yutel, the president of Orot, and he said, "Listen, when you read with the words of like." The Orchaim lived in Eretz Yisrael. We do words of Rashi and the Ramban and the Vilna Gaon. Like they couldn't dream of the Jewish people being in a situation like they couldn't even dream that there would be a group of Jews sitting in a beautiful yeshuv in Yad Binyamin and studying Torah and living a Torah lifestyle. It was like beyond their comprehension. If you would ask them what is Yimot HaMashiach like, the only thing that we're missing is the Beit HaMikdash. This is entirely what they would describe. I say this by without exaggeration whatsoever.
There's so much Kal Chomer now.
Yeah.
It's so easy.
Right. Whoa. You know what I'm saying? This idea of direct connection.
In comparison.
Yeah. Okay. One second. I just want to hear that because he says.
What's the
Okay. The last thing I want to share with you.
Minus the maid.
Minus the maid.
I can give up. I'd rather take the family.
1 second. I just want to get on this one.
Oh, happiness.
What?
The cherry on top. Yeah. You can choose between the Beit HaMikdash and a maid. I don't want to know the answer to that. Okay. The last thing I want to quote for you is the Nitziv. The Nitziv is a long. The last thing I want to quote for you is the Nitziv. The Nitziv has a long essay, a very beautiful essay, on the notion of Et Hashem He'emarta. Okay. 1 second.
Well, obviously, she feels that way too. But still, it'd be nice.
The Nitziv says, what does He'emarta mean? It's a very beautiful idea.
He says
Nitziv. The Nitziv lived in Balazhin, right? He lived in Europe. He says the following. He says, Kivun, shekivun leve'emarta alehem. It's the idea of ve'emarta, meaning milashon chibur. Hashem he'emarta hayom. He connected to you. Okay? Yitchabru yachad, from the idea of chibur. Okay? How do we connect to God? Okay, he says, we are nitchabrim el Hashem, as the Zohar says, de oraita v'kud shabrichu v'yisrael chadu. Oraita, the Torah, and Yisrael and the Jewish people and God are one thing. So how do we mitchaber he'emarta, says the Nativ? He says, umishum hachi nikra ha-talmud lachmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Talmud, the study of God, the study of Talmud, he says, the Gemara, study of Torah, is the lashon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Koach ha-Talmud hu kmo lechem ha-mechaber ha-neshama v'haguf yachad chibur atzum. Bread connects the soul and the body. Kach Talmud hu ha-mechaber et Yisrael la-aviham shebashamayim. So too, the study of Torah, and we see specifically talking about the study of Gemara, connects. U'mishum hachi, and therefore we say the word ahava rabba. What do we say in ahava rabba? What is the great love? How does God express His love to us? Ech Hashem he'emarta hayom. How does God designate? How does God connect to us? He gave us the Torah. Shehu ha-Talmud, as we say. V'tein b'libeinu lahavinu laskir l'ilmod l'shmor v'lasotu l'kayim et kol divrei Talmud Torahtecha v'nikra ahava rabba. What's God's great love? How did God... It's similar, by the way, to what we said about l'shmor. Right? What's the great love? And I think we don't focus on this enough. Ahava rabba, the great love of God is that God gave us the Torah. So I just want to mention, it made me think of, like, there's a discussion group that I belong to, a rabbi discussion group, about the Daf Yomi. And everybody talked about, like, the Daf Yomi, the business Yom HaShas, and how beautiful it was, and et cetera, et cetera. But there is blowback. There's another side. Right? The problem with Daf Yomi is that it's very, very surface. Very, very surface. It's at a brutal pace. Anybody's husband's learned Daf Yomi? It's just a brutal, brutal pace. It's endless. And also, you can't learn in depth. You just can't. There's no way, you know, unless you are a person, there are very few people who learn like 3-4 hours a day, Daf Yomi, right? You just can't learn it in depth. You cover it, move on. Cover it, move on. You remember almost nothing. And it's a legitimate criticism. But the response to that guy is interesting, and you know, and so I lament the fact, like, I teach a Gemara class, but for whatever reason, it's really hard to give an in-depth Gemara class every day, and people just, it doesn't draw like Daf Yomi does. Like the idea of being a part of something greater than you. And just the people that responded to the mail, it very much resonated. They said words like life-altering. Like it just changes. You know what I'm saying? Your husband will say the same thing. It's the second cycle. The people who do it, even though they can't tell you exactly what they learned.
But it's the way he thinks about it. It makes him think about issues he never thought about.
Ah, right, right. So I would use, the word I would use is the word that the Nitziv uses. It's the idea of chibur. Right? That the study of Torah, study of Gemara also, is a connection. You feel more connected. And the more you do it, the more connected that you feel. And so the idea of, even the fact that we're learning here, the connection itself, you feel different. Like you designate, if this is your only learning in the week, if you miss it, you miss your shir, you miss your chavruta, you feel less connected.
Less, yeah.
You feel less.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a good thing. You know, and the more you do it, you know, like I had a chavrutas, I'm like swamped with the classes. I remember, like, when I had a regular chavrutas twice a week, when I would miss it, I would feel yeah, diminished, less connected, less exalted, less whatever, amarta. And that's a very important connection of the word to the word itself. So, we spoke about the idea of designated, exalted, devoted. We spoke about the beautiful midrash, about the chativa, about our tefillin and God's tefillin. Spoke about the idea of seeing shmirat ha-mitzvot, not as a responsibility and a burden, but instead as a privilege. And then finally, we talked about, mentioned the beautiful mitzvah of aliyah and the connection, the new renewal of the connection to God. And finally, we spoke about this idea of the connection through Torah and the connection to God that we have through the study of Torah. Have a good week, everybody.